as we're getting the different speakers. So I'm going to give a little bit of a context of a scripture that's been on my heart. But to actually give application to that and give a context, Emma is going to share a little bit about her organization called Grandmas, which works with kids and families affected by HIV. And that's going to give a context, and we'll use that as a platform to kind of head into a time of prayer. So would you open your Bibles on Romans chapter 1, please? That's on page 1129. That's Romans chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, put your hand up there, and I'm sure someone from CORE will give you one. Thanks, Michael. So Romans 1, chapter 16, let me just briefly read it out. Romans 1, 16, are we all there, yeah? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Let me start that first bit again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, for the Jew than for the Gentile. It's just one verse today. It's not too taxing. And this has been some verse that's been on my heart for months now at this stage. I just want to kind of give a little bit of a teaching into it, but also give just something that's on my heart, and I believe for this church for the coming time. I want to look at the two aspects, because this is a massive scripture. Talk about salvation. You could talk about the idea of equality in God's kingdom, Jew, Gentile, how he broke down barriers. But I want to look at the two points here very briefly, which Paul goes to elaborate on actually in the rest of Romans, which is the power of the gospel, and he works that out in various ways in Romans. But also the idea which Paul also talks about is how we sometimes feel ashamed to share the gospel, and we are fearful of doing that for various reasons, and we're fearful, I'll go into it, but we're fearful perhaps what people will think about us, that we don't believe the word of God, that, as Jack spoke about last week, who are we trusting in for our resurrection, as Patrick Boland spoke about last week, the idea of forgiveness, do we really feel forgiven, therefore can we talk to other people about forgiveness? And the amazing thing is that when Jack was speaking last week, he mentioned the scripture actually that I wanted to kind of elaborate on in this morning, and that is to focus in this idea of power. It's such a massive thing, but to focus in on the scripture he mentioned was Luke 5:17, where he said, one day as he was teaching Pharisees, that's Jesus, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Now, many of you know, in Florida, over the last 6 or 8 months, there's been an amazing outpouring of God's manifest presence. What I mean by manifest presence, there's almost a tangible sense of God's glory falling in the place. It comes from the idea of Old Testament, when they brought the ark back in, and the presence of God was so heavy that the priest could not stand, actually. So this isn't a new thing in Florida. It's been going on in many places around the world. It was going on here this morning as we were worshipping. But the amazing thing is, there's something about this line, and the power of the Lord was present for him, Jesus, to heal the sick. And I've been thinking on that for months, actually years now at this stage, because I really struggle with that scripture, because my own mother died of cancer back in 1999, and many, many people prayed for her and nothing happened. And I think that was a real struggle for me, and I know for everyone here in this room, you'll know someone who has been prayed with and it hasn't worked. But yet I think we default towards that place of doubt as opposed to stepping into a place of belief. And God's been really challenging me about that. And because of that, I was invited to go to Coleraine yesterday, which is up north, to get involved in a healing ministry that they do on the streets there. It's the Vineyard, the Causeway Vineyard, and they invited myself and Sean Copeland up to pray with them on the street, specifically to pray for healing. Now, I've been really struggling with this passage, everything's going on in Florida, believing God for it, but wanting to see it here in this nation for me to just really work through that. So anyway, myself and Sean headed up to Coleraine on Friday evening, and thanks to Kathy and the amazing job she did and her team, I was able to go up there with Sean and know everything would work well here. So we arrived up, and first thing on Saturday morning, we got up, and we went into Coleraine, and there was this big banner that they put on the diamond there, which is the main section of Coleraine, and it just basically had healing here. And my first reaction was, oh no, you know, this looks so kind of in your face, you know, you're going to touch the flag and get healed. And I was quite cautious about the thing. But then they invited us around and they said very simply, we're just going to kneel on the street and we're going to pray for God's presence to come. And I was like praying my phone would ring or there'd be some excuse for me not to do that. Because the interesting thing is I've got contacts in Coleraine and the church there, and they had come down to observe everything that was going on, interestingly enough. So anyway, we knelt down and prayed, and the amazing sense of God's peace just fell upon us. And what I mean by that, this real sense of this is okay, this is right. And the idea that they have is not a case of being invasive with people, rather they're passive. And what I mean by that is, they have these flyers, and they explain on the flyers a passage like this, something on the idea of that we don't know why God doesn't heal, but we believe as Christians we should just try and pray for healing. So anyway, they said to me, you go out and start giving out the flyers. So I stood out there, gave out some flyers. And all these people sort of coming asking for healing. And let me just tell you what happened. It's just mind-blowing. Three people came with serious back problems. The first person came with noticeable hip out of place, literally was limping. And they sat down and they prayed for her. And visibly, the legs came into line, the hips came back into alignment, and she got up and started literally running around the place. This was a woman in her 50s. Next, a guy came up, and he had something wrong with his lower back, a really bad chronic arthritis type thing. Sat down, they prayed for him, and he just said, the pain's gone. And he looked so surprised, and I looked quite surprised as well. And he just got up, and he just started crying. He's not a Christian. He just started crying. And then really nicely they said, you know, Jesus loves you. Weren't invasive about it. God does heal. Sometimes he doesn't. But we believe. And he just shared the gospel. And I was just blown away, so I started handing out more flyers. And then this older lady came up, and I wrote these down just so I could testify exactly what happened. She had something wrong with her middle to lower back again, and also her bones and her legs, and she was wearing this big cast type thing, and she couldn't really walk very well. She was on a Zimmer frame, and she came up, and again they prayed for her. And the way they pray is externally they pray that God loves you, and internally they're praying for healing, because for people who aren't Christians, that's the language is quite scary. But then she just said, stop praying, I feel quite different. And she just got up without her Zimmer frame and started walking around the place without the limp. This was incredible. I was completely blown away at this stage. But then it was a roller coaster ride for me, because a little child came up then who was about 8 years old. He was in a wheelchair, and he was with his brother and his sister and his parents. And he'd been knocked down when he was 2.5 years old. And we started praying for him, and all the family got very, very upset. And nothing happened for this little guy. And I was just so upset to see, you know, here's the child who needs it most, if you like, but yet God isn't healing him. And yet we read the scriptures like the power of the Lord was present for him to heal, and it was there. So I guess I'm just saying that sometimes it doesn't happen. And just as we were praying for this little boy, a guy walked by and he just stopped. One of the fellows who was praying, he said, just to let you know that when you prayed for me with terminal liver cancer 1.5 years ago, I've just been to the doctor and I'm completely healed and I have no more liver cancer. So you have all these things going on, this tension, this stress of dealing with this, but yet God healed these things amazingly. And another man, just to give the last story, came up and he had issues with his right arm. He hadn't been able to use it, I think, we weren't sure the exact time, but months, maybe years. It was kind of fused. And he came up completely unbelieving and he sat down and they prayed for him and they said, "Can you move your arm?" And he said, "No." And they prayed for him again and he moved his arm up here, and then they prayed for him a third time and he had full movement in his arm. He hadn't had that for so long. And again, he just started crying and he said, "Well, how is this happening?" And they just shared the gospel with him. And I just tell those stories first to build faith, but also to say within that tension, there was the little boy. I went away thinking of that little boy who wasn't healed. But I was challenged by God last night as we were stuck on the M50 for about 6 days due to the weather. He said, Are you thinking of the boy, which is right, and you were very sad for him, but is your position, and this is what I really want to challenge us with and share with us this morning, is your position one of doubt, or one of faith? Remember in Jack's talk a few months ago about doubt, and brilliant talk actually, we all doubt, but what is your posture? Is it a posture of unbelief or a posture of belief? And I have to take these stories and I have to hold them as truth because I saw them with my own eyes, and I feel so challenged now to go into the streets of Dublin and do the same. And I'm going to be asking some of you guys to come with me, and John has to approve that obviously, but I think we need to at least be trying to pray for healing, but there's so much more comprehensive that we need to do as well. The idea of God loving people as well is important. So the power of God to heal, it's something that we need to push into, I believe. Secondly, the idea of being ashamed. It was amazing how ashamed I was, if you like, when it came to sharing. And if we're honest, you know, do you feel really comfortable with your work colleague or your husband or with your family members about sharing the gospel with them? Do you feel really comfortable about it? I have to say, when I became a Christian, I did it so much that everyone hated me. And then I've kind of stopped and stopped doing it, if you like, mentioning the name Jesus, because I'm afraid of what maybe people would think. But God is working that through me more recently. And I can remember over the last 4 months, about 5 or 6 occasions where I've been with people and they've been asking me about what I do. And it's amazing how people change when you're out with them maybe for a few drinks and it comes up, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm a Church of Ireland minister. And invariably they say, "Oh, well, you're quite normal, aren't you, for a minister, you know?" And I was away with this one guy when I was in Spain. His name was Dennis. And we'd spent 2 weeks with them, a great couple from the north of Dublin, a real hard-working couple. And we'd laughed and we'd joked and we'd even cried with them because their house had been broken into and we helped them out with that. But on the last day, I was driving him to the police station. He had to get something done with his passport. And we were driving back and he said to me, "So what do you do, Rob?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a Church of Ireland minister." And he just used a very strong expletive at me. And he just kind of stopped the car and he said, "You know, you're kind of normal, and you know, I don't really understand this." And then he asked me why I did it, and I told him it was for the money. And so, but I guess what I'm saying is here that he said, "You were sharing with me through who you are over the last 2 weeks without me knowing what you did." And that was much more powerful than openly trying to shove it down my throat. So there's kind of two times, if you like, living the life, but also when you're asked to share, you share it. You see, in the gospel, the idea of being ashamed is something that they do struggle with, the apostles, I believe. But in the Gospel of John, it says 39 times that Jesus was sent by the Father. And then in John 20:21, it says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then he breathed on them. And the amazing thing about the breathing is that it reminds us of Genesis, because God breathes into mankind. He doesn't breathe into the animals. He breathes into mankind. And this is one of the only other times are like Ezekiel with the dry bones. But God breathes in this Holy Spirit in this idea of being sent. So we are a sent people. We're sent out to Coleraine, we're sent out to Grafton Street, we're sent to our families, remembering in respect and in honour that God loves those people too, but they need to know Jesus. So there's this link of power and being sent. When God pours out his power, it's invariably to be sent in some capacity or another. And God is really, just to share what he's been speaking to me about, God is really speaking to me from Micah 6, 9a, and that is, listen, the Lord is calling you to the city. And I just feel so strongly, and I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how we can do this as a church. I have to talk to John about it, but I just feel very much called to go into the city centre and do something to share the gospel with people through works of service. I don't know what it is. I can't see myself up there in a soapbox preaching fire and brimstone, but we'll leave that to you, Jack, maybe, you know. So, just to finish, we're going to hear from Emma now, because she kind of practically is sent out in her job, in her life, if you know what I mean. But the name of this church is City Outreach Through Renewal and Evangelism. That's what CORE stands for, if you're new this morning. That's City Outreach Through Renewal, which is the idea of being renewed by God's Spirit, and evangelism. And those first two, city outreach and the last one, evangelism, is an obligation, if you like, not only biblically, but the call upon this church is something to do that. And this will happen in many ways as God unfolds his plan. But I just want us to hear from Emma now for about 10 or 15 minutes, because Emma works for an amazing organization called Grandmas. And I think when you give talks like this and you speak about stories, it's great to hear from someone like Emma, who will tell us about where Grandmas is at the moment, about the struggles, about the tensions, and about just where we can go maybe as a church with that, but also in a wider context of being sent out. So, Emma, I just pass over to you.
Thank you. Morning. I was thinking of the last few days, what am I going to share? Because, you know, I've been standing up here many times. And for many of you, you know about Grandmas, you know what the work is. But I'm also aware that there's visitors here this morning and there's people who don't know what Grandmas is. There's many a time I go and visit a family who's been referred to us. And they look at me and think, you're a very young grandmother. You know, what are you doing? What's this about? And it's not working necessarily with the older generation, but working with families affected by HIV and AIDS. And Grandmas comes from, the name Grandmas comes from a verse in the Bible where it says in Psalm 68, I'll put the lonely in families. And Grandmas is extended family. We want to be extended family to the lonely, to the people who just need a bit of support, a bit of a handout, a bit of company, someone to walk alongside and be there for them through highs, through lows, through good days, through good, bad days, through sickness, through health. Rob said something a few minutes ago. He said, you know, there's two ways. There's you know, living the gospel and actually walking alongside somebody without necessarily sharing the gospel. In Grandmas, when I talk to volunteers or new volunteers, we would talk about how we're not there to openly evangelize. Now, my thoughts are beginning to change on that a little bit, because I think there's real need for that. But we walk alongside a family. They know we're Christian, but we want to show God's love in a very practical way by taking care of their children, giving mum, dad, carer, just a little bit of a break. We've got some people here in the congregation who are volunteers with us, and they go and visit a family once a week or once a fortnight. One of our mums is not well. She's HIV positive, but she's also got leukemia and is coming out of having had a number of sessions of chemo. She's got a very active little three-year-old. She's in an abusive relationship with her partner, who is taking things out on her in a not nice way. She has a son over in Zimbabwe who she would absolutely adore to see, but unfortunately hasn't been able to have him returned or to be with her in Ireland yet. She's waiting for a visa to be allowed. And for our volunteer who goes and visits her just once a week or once a fortnight and takes the little one out, what a support that is to that mum, knowing there's someone who cares, knowing there's someone who will be able to run around after her very energetic little three-year-old girl, who who would be able to take her off to the park, because she can't. She can't walk that far. She hasn't got that much energy. But then we've got other mums who are brilliant, who are doing really healthy. And yet, I visited one mum on Friday, and although she's healthy, she's always got the thought in her head, what about, what if? And God is at work amongst our volunteers, amongst our families. He's touching lives. But I want to see the power of God come forth. I want to see the lives transformed and changed. And so I think it's fantastic walk alongside families and being the gospel. But let's get over this hurdle. And I speak for myself 110%, getting over this hurdle and saying, let's share, let's speak the gospel as well. Let's say, even if you can't say, can I pray with you now? Let's say, I'm going home to pray for you, and let's see what, you know, what happens in the next few weeks. Because we do pray, or that's what we're meant to do anyway. And we will. I know with all my heart I'm going to see things changed in our family situations, be it their health, be it their visas that they're looking for, schools trying to get their children in, or the emotional needs, the huge loneliness, the huge isolation, the huge feeling of just not wanting to be ostracized just because they've got HIV, the big three-letter word that just seems to, they think, is nearly stuck on their forehead, a big label. And so for so many, just ashamed of that. And yet God doesn't stick that label on. And as I stand here, you know I'm aware that I'm nearly sticking labels on these precious people. I'm aware that at times it can be a them and an us situation, and I don't want that anymore. It's us. We as the church, you know, all coming together. And so God is really speaking to me about vision, the vision for grandmas. And up until now, we've had a base where we've had a small room in Rathmines and had an admin base there. And then myself and our volunteers would head out to the families and take care of the kids for those few hours. But things are changing. The house where we have our office is for sale, and so we have to move out. And I am praying, and my volunteers and those people that support us in prayer are praying for a house, ideally in Dublin 8 location, or offices anyway, where we can open the doors, where we can invite our mums, our dads, our children in and say, come on in. We're going to have a mums and tots group. We're going to have a creche. We're going to have a social evening. But in June, we had the first one of these mornings. And I was a bit unsure as to how many mums would come, because so many of them had said to me, I'm not sure if I could really meet someone else or openly talk about my diagnosis. So I had rung around all our mums and invited them, and all but two had said, yeah, I'd love to come to that. And we had been able to use the back facility here. Now on the day, 11 mums turned up here and made their way here, and we had just a wonderful morning with them. And what the plan for the morning was that I would open it up for our mums to tell us what they might like us to organise for them. So rather than me saying, well, we're going to do this, what would you like us to do for you? And as the mums were feeding back to me and I was writing it all down, one mum in very broken English stood up. And she felt really embarrassed because she couldn't speak fluently English. And so then another mum who spoke French, but also was fluent in English, said, I'll translate for her. So the two mums stood up, and this mum said, this is all very well, but we need to have prayer and Bible study and worship times. And I was like, yes, this is what I want. This is the thing most of all that I want. It's great to have social evenings. It's great to get to know another, but it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And all the mums were nodding in agreement, saying, yes, that would be really good. So starting in September, we're going to have initially just a monthly time where our mums will come together and our volunteers will come together, and together we will worship God. Together we will call upon his name. Together we will pray for one another, and together we will see the power of God fall on our community, and together we will be church. He calls us as the body of Christ to be church. And church isn't just here on a Sunday. Church is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in our own small groups, in whatever. And grandma's is church. We want to do that with our moms. And I'm so excited about what lies ahead, and seeing the power of God at work and seeing lives transformed. But at this stage, we're on our knees crying out for this building. I know it will happen. I can imagine it might happen at the 11th hour, but I really believe it will happen. And I'm also very aware that we've got over 30 families waiting for help. We're working with less than that amount. And so, having visited a mum on Friday who is not well at all, desperately would love someone to walk alongside her 12-year-old who is just really suffering and aware of mum's diagnosis and just not in the best of places. Another mum whose son has recently been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, autism, and just feeling really lonely, feeling, how am I going to cope with all of this? But for someone, for 3 hours, once a week, once a fortnight, just to walk alongside them, it can mean so much. In July, we had three busloads on three different days, and we headed off. The first time we've ever done it, we've invited all our families to come. And on Wednesday of that week, we went to Powerscourt. Now, it rained all day, and we had planned to go to the waterfalls, and they were all so excited. And we met in Tala, and despite the rain, we decided we'd go. And we got wet and the kids got muddy in the playground, but there were smiles on everybody's face. We were church together, just hanging out, having fun. One mum from Zimbabwe said, you know, this reminds me of my home, the Victoria Falls. And I was like, far cry from Victoria Falls, but you know, it was great. But God is at work, and I would love to stand up today and be able to say, you know, he's doing this, and this is what I've seen him doing, and I know he is doing stuff, and I have no doubt about that. But I stand this morning and say, I want to step out. You know, I want to be able to say to a mum, can I pray for you right now? Can we lift this to God and just see what he's going to do, and believe and trust that he will? At the end of August, on Tuesday, the 26th of August, I'm having just an informal get-together here in Core for people in Core, for people in churches all over the city, just to come together to hear more about grandmas, to get over the fear of HIV, how can I get involved in that, if there is that fear, and to see, is there a way that you can get involved, be it visiting a family once every couple of weeks, or on more ad hoc ways, especially when we have our house. There will be people needed to help in a crèche every few weeks, or to help make coffee for our mums when they come in, or to hang out with our teenagers when they come around. There's always opportunities to do something. And maybe it isn't that you could go off regularly, that you just don't have that time, but maybe you could come just for a little while. But God is an awesome God. I'm aware that within grandmas, one of our key verses is, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We can do so much, you know, and we can do so many good works. I think I spoke about this last time I was here, about good work, but we want to do God work. We want the Spirit of God to lead us and to go forth in his name and to see lives transformed, to see healing, to see those that are hopeless becoming full of hope, in the knowledge that Jesus is Lord and Lord of their life, and no matter what might be thrown against them, he reigns and he's with them. So it's exciting times. It's a bit daunting. It's a bit scary. It's standing on the threshold, I think, looking out, thinking, can we move into it yet? But not quite there. And just really praying and seeking God just to deliver the goods. And he will, because he's promised this. I hope, you know, in the future that I'll stand up here and say, guess what? You know, this is what God is doing. Because he will, and he is doing so much. Rob wanted me, just as I close, to... Sorry, I'm jerking around here. Just to lead us in prayer. And I know God is here with us this morning. And I know what Rob was sharing, you know, really touched me as well. Just thinking about being ashamed of the gospel. You know, I'm not, inwardly I'm not ashamed, but when I try to speak it out, jeepers, it's not easy at times. And this morning as I was praying, God gave me a picture of somebody, whoever, walking around with a suitcase. And it wasn't a suitcase full of burdens and full of the things that we normally carry on our backs. But in it was all that God is doing, really exciting stuff. And it was packed in our suitcase and we were walking around with it, going to visit people. But the thing was, we weren't opening the suitcase. We weren't displaying what God was doing and showing people and actually giving it away, because it'll always get filled up again. And I just wonder if God really wants to speak into that and to bring freedom upon us to really step out and to step over the mark and say, you know, I'm going to, even if it's the tiniest, tiniest little thing, even if it's just saying, I'm going to pray for you this week, and really pray for that person this week, and go back to them and say, well, how's things? I have been praying, and just see. But maybe we could stand and let's just wait on God and see what he wants to do, and we'll go from there. Father, you are an awesome God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we worship you here this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here amidst us. Thank you that your presence is with us. Thank you that you are working in our hearts and you are speaking to us right now. Come and have your way, Lord. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. You know where each one of us is at. And I thank you for the opportunities that you give us, Lord. And you don't stop giving us those opportunities, but I pray for courage for us, Lord, as a people here in Dublin today, Lord, to step off, to step out of the mold, to step into what you have for us, to step and see, Lord, the power of God touching and transforming our lives and those lives around us, Lord.